and thanks for joining us again at the Tree Ratna International Council at Adistana. Your broadcast team again is Chandra Dasa.
Good morning, everyone.
And I'm Dasani. Hello. And we're joined by Arya Ketu.
Hello. Good morning.
Tell us where you live, Arya Ketu.
I live in Nagpur.
In Nagpur?
Yeah, which is the central part of India.
Mm-hmm. Maharashtra.
Maharashtra.
Big on oranges.
Yes.
And what do you do there?
I'm running Arya Loka Computer Education at Nagpur.
Arya Loka Computer Education. And what does this team do?
So mainly this project is delivering IT skills to young students of Nagpur.
Mm. Mm. And what size? How many students?
Every year, nearly 700 students benefit from computer institutes. We got three branches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
And are these wealthy kids, or are they kind of from poor backgrounds? Or
we got we run two types of program. So one program really for the PS children. Those are coming from poor background.
Mm-hmm.
Which is we called as a below poverty line. Mm-hmm. So we choose 350 students from poor background and delivered IT skill.
Wow.
And also definitely we got really a very good reputation in Nagpur for quality computer education. So we attract students from rich families.
Good.
They pay fees, complete fees to institute.
Ah, because that you will have really, such good reputation.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. That will really help us to subsidize students.
Persons.
Yeah.
Well done.
That's fantastic balance then. Yeah. So that means then that when you have these kids working with you, they have a real social mix.
Oh, of course. It's hard for keeping students from rich families as well as from poor families learning together. It's not easy, mm-hmm. actually, but somehow we work very hard. Our teachers are working hard to create a situation where the students mix together without having any barrier of rich, poor, or caste, even caste discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of our project.
So caste discrimination is quite a big feature, isn't it? Some listeners won't know much about caste discrimination. Can you give us a brief overview of that?
Actually, in India, we all really grown up in a social rigid hierarchical system, and which is caste system. It's a four level of hierarchies. So on the top, Brahmin, and on the second level it's a Kshatriya. We called it as Kshatriya, and the third level is Vaishya. Those people are running businesses, and the fourth level is the Shudra, and often these fourth level it's a lower caste. They are, and from the bottom, there is untouchable Dalit family. Those used to live outside the village, but still the people are living together in city, but still there is a different form of caste system is working in Nagpur.
Mm-hmm.
Even the students are coming from different caste background and different community. They know that we are from higher caste, these students from lower caste. But in a learning environment, they are trying to mix with each other without knowing that these students from other caste and this caste. Yeah.
And that's
the vision of our project, one of the vision of our project, mission of our project to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing it since last 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I find it very interesting that a project, such a large project with such a wide social mix, also has a very good reputation for excellence that then attracts wealthier students. That's really, that really says something for the project. So when you're educating these students on computer skills, what sort of, is it very basic or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We deliver education from basic to higher. So mainly we focus on to deliver basic computer education, that is we famous MSCIT, Maharashtra State Certificate in Information Technology, which is recognized by Maharashtra government.
Mm.
So we provide the certificate as well if anybody successfully pass this examination. And we mainly through MSCIT, we teach them MS Office, MS Word, MS Excel, MS PowerPoint, and internet.
Mm.
And these four skills are really extraordinary. That gives them a confidence to the students, young students, especially from poor family. Those really cannot afford the fee structure of existing institute.
Mm.
And they just get confidence by learning these skills and they quickly get the job in the IT field.
Okay, yeah.
Now, I saw on the Buddhist Center Online on the Triratna News space, some time ago we had a story about a class of girls who'd graduated, which was even more unusual, girls from very poor backgrounds.
Exactly.
Being educated and all going out and getting jobs in a world that they would never have had access to.
Exactly. This is another program we are running at RA Loka. We bring students from other states where their IT institutes are not available.
Okay.
And mainly we bring women from other states.
Mm-hmm.
The women are not really allowed to go out in Chhattisgarh and in Bihar and in Rajasthan.
Yeah.
Often women just, when they grown up at 15 or 16, they just get married. But those who wanted to really come out from that old tradition, we just ask them to come to Nagpur, learn IT skill and get jobs and choose how to live their life.
So you're at this meeting not just to represent RA Loka, although
no,
that is important.
Exactly.
You're here to represent the order.
Of course.
In India.
Of course. I'm working for order convening work in India.
Mm.
Working for order, it's a source of inspiration.
Yeah.
Yeah. That gives me inspiration, enthusiasm and energy to work for all the benefits of human being in the world.
Mm.
That's the expression. But this inspiration gets from whom? It's from the order.
Great. And how are you finding the International Council? This is your second or third one?
This is my... unfortunately, I wasn't present at Nag Loka, but this is my second International Council.
And are you enjoying yourself?
Oh, I am enjoying very much. Coming to Adhishtana, it's just like coming to the heart of the Triratna International Center. And I'm coming to the one part of the moment, not to UK actually.
Yes.
So you're not even in
I don't
UK.
I don't feel that I am in the UK. I am at Adhishtana.
No, we were saying at breakfast that when we came to India last year, and we went to Nag Loka with the giant statue of the Buddha, etc. We didn't think we were in India either. We were in a dream realm.
That's right.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. There were no rickshaws. There were no barking dogs. There were no goats wearing cardigans. We were just in this beautiful campus.
Yeah.
And every day these fantastic students, the girls who had come to study, would leave these beautiful mandalas of flowers for us. It was like goddesses just kind of... You turn up and somebody's done this and you think, wow.
Mm.
That hasn't happened here yet for you. But we are working on it.
Yeah.
So what's been your favourite bit of the meeting so far?
It's a friendly atmosphere over here. And it's a kind of international atmosphere. And having a direct experience for, as an Indian, to have an international... We are international order.
Mm.
That's most important. That's most important.
And is that in India, do people have a strong sense then that that is important? They're not just occupied with India. They feel part of something bigger.
Yeah, exactly. They have the... Of course, they have that sort of knowledge. We are not just a member of India, Indian order, but we are international. But they don't have an experience of... But I must say that we organized two international order conventions at Buddha Gaya that gave them a flavor of we are the international.
Mm.
But when Indians are coming over here for International Council, they know that five Indians went to Adhishtana and they are joining International Council on the behalf of them. And they are seeing photographs on the Facebook.
Oh, yes. And so that is really important.
And that's really, that's really very important for them that, we are truly international order.
Mm. And this time we have two Dharmacharis, two women order members from India for the first time who were born in India.
Exactly. That's a great achievement.
It's a great achievement.
Two men come forward. It's not easy for women to come forward and work for the order and Sangha.
Well, we are going to try and have an interview with them later in the week.
Oh,
so people will
nice.
Be able to hear them speak about their experience.
Yeah. Lovely.
And so, you know, we've done a lot of talking. There have been a lot of meetings. Mm-hmm. This is day four.
Four.
This is day four. And yesterday we had a nice break in the afternoon.
Yeah.
No more meetings.
No more meeting.
Some silence. If you were going home today, this is one of the questions we've been asking people. If you were going home today, what would be the most important thing you would take away with you from the International Council?
To me, it's important to communicate what we discuss here and what we achieve through discussion. But more than that, it's more important to take a spirit and the spirit of the meeting to India. And that is something most difficult.
Most difficult.
Most important, most difficult.
And most important, most difficult. But I came to know that. So I definitely find out the way how to bring spirit of the meeting to India.
Mm-hmm. And what is the spirit of the meeting? What's
it's
it got
the spirit
to do
of the meeting. We are truly international order. Mm-hmm. We are truly international order. That is something really very close to the vision and the mission of the Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar.
Ah, nice. So it's a very harmonious international meeting. You
yes.
just mentioned Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar.
Yeah.
Now, some people, again, won't know who that is. Do you want to give a brief introduction to Dr. Ambedkar?
Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar, who embraced Buddhism in 1956, 14th October 1956, with his 380,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, and after that, Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar has got the vision for the future of Buddhism in India.
Mm-hmm.
So he has got the future that we should have an international Buddhist organization so that the Buddhists from India get support and help from the Buddhists from the other world all the way.
So Dr. Ambedkar would approve of this?
Yeah. Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar, if he's alive, he will be very happy to see that international Buddhist organization are thriving in the world, and which is really fulfilling the vision and mission of Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar. Mm-hmm. I must rejoicing in the merits of Urgen Sangharakshita, who is a brother of Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar. They both receive initiation from the teacher, Master Virchandramani.
Mm-hmm.
Master Virchandramani, in a way that they are the two brothers.
The Dharma brothers.
Dharma brothers. And Urgen Sangharakshita has done lot, has contributed lot to fulfill the vision of his brother.
Yeah.
That's right, just by founding a Buddhist order that is alive in India and works with Dr. Ambedkar's people.
But it's not enough, actually. We have to, there's a long way to go.
There is a long way. And the other thing is, of course, it's not just that people come from the West and go to India. Because you're coming here, there's a very strong body of practice and experience in India.
Yeah.
And it's very good for order members in other countries to be exposed to that practice. And sometimes, actually, in a way, India takes a lead with areas of order life and movement life. And then you come and tell us about it. And we say, oh, maybe we can do this too.
Thank you very much. You are rejoicing in the merits of us.
Well, when we came to India, and it was very good to hear how clear everybody was about your ethical policy. And that was quite a strong challenge for people in the West to say, well, are we going to look at the same areas?
Yep.
We all have the precepts, of course, but sometimes at centres it's good to have something stronger in place. And in India, You can take the lead.
Yeah.
You're way ahead.
To be honest, we don't have choice. We have to work hard.
Yes.
Because it's a kind of, we have created such a wonderful Sangha in India. That's simply the kind of Sangha serving the vision of Dr. Babasaheb Ambedkar and Bhante Sangharakshita.
Mm.
We just can't get lazy. Because it will destroy the lives of many, many thousand families. Because many, many thousand families are living harmoniously and happily. It's just because of the existence of Sangha.
That's a very good point.
So it has changed the lives of many families, many people. You know, still there are millions of followers of Dr. Ambedkar are struggling. how to practice Buddhism in daily life. They know they are Buddhist, but they don't know how to implement, how to practice Buddhism in their daily life.
So in some ways that was the same condition that Sangharakshita met, wasn't it, when after Dr. Ambedkar's death and Sangharakshita started directly teaching to his followers, this sense of, yes, we are Buddhists, but how does this change our lives?
Yeah.
And how does this free us?
Yeah.
Emancipate us in the society.
Exactly.
And many people in the West find it very inspiring that the Dharma, as practiced in Sri Lanka and in India, has such a radical effect on people's lives.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It changes.
Yes, exactly.
So, Arike, I just want to thank you for taking time out from the meeting to come and talk to us today about your project back home and about your thoughts about being here. About Dr. Ambedkar. Excellent to hear.
And there is, for those who are listening, an Aryaloka Computer Institute page on the Buddha Centre online. And you can see some really good things on it, some stories about the students, some animation that's happened.
Yes.
Worth checking out. We'll put the link up on this podcast.
Thank you very much. I would love to meet you again.
We will meet many times.
We'll do it again and again then. Okay, so from Chandradasa.
Goodbye.
From Arike.
Thank you very much. Jai Bhim.
And from Dasani. Over and out.